There is still more to come on Joy's The Informer, the news program from an LGBTI perspective.
Have you ever thought about becoming a sperm donor? Ever wondered what it takes? Seriously. There's a reason I'm asking. It's because Australia is in a sperm shortage and our communities are to blame. DNR Curie finds out more as he speaks to Dr. Weston from the Monash IVF Group.
Australia, we've got a sperm problem. We're running out of sperm. That's right. It's a sperm shortage down under. But how, I hear you say? Well, our LGBTIQ communities are partly responsible. So what are we going to do about it? I sat down with Dr. Weston from Monash IVF Group to find out. Dr. Weston was the first gay IVF specialist in Victoria to open up a private practice and is a leading gay rights doctor at Monash IVF.
Traditional people who need sperm donors are heterosexual couples where the male partner doesn't have any sperm in his ejaculate and we're unable to find any sperm for him. Although they're traditionally the main group that require sperm donors, they're actually now our smallest group. In Victoria, from 2010, both single women, lesbian couples, transgender patients, any patient who wants to have a child can access donor sperm treatment. As a result of that, our sperm stocks have gone to an all-time low because 75 to 80% of access to the donor sperm bank is now from non-heterosexual couples or from single patients. There's probably been a slight decrease in the number of men who've donated, but we've had a quadrupling in the demand on the donor sperm bank, and we very much want to be able to meet the needs of all of our patients, single, straight, lesbian, transgender, gay. If we're going to meet those needs, we need more sperm donors.
Sperm donation is a reality for many in our communities who want to start a family, not simply because many of us are in same-sex relationships, but because sperm donation is also a way in which people are able to conceive in today's day and age for a variety of reasons. But if we don't have enough sperm, then couples will need to look elsewhere.
Sperm donation has the capacity to completely transform lives. I mean, not just sperm donation, but egg donation. Any situation where a couple lack one of the basic components to make a child, you just cannot imagine how it transforms their lives when they have that little child in their arms. I've seen single women's lives transformed. I've seen lesbian couples who've had families brought together as a result of having a child together. I've seen just the most amazing transformations of people's lives. And if we have enough donor sperm to be able to meet all those needs, then we can continue to help the community to have children, because we've fought very long and hard to have the right to have children, and that's wonderful, we have the right to, but we need sperm.
So you might be thinking, is this something I can help with? What kind of sperm are we talking about here? Well, the reality is, lots. Just like our communities, the sperm needed should be just as diverse.
The fact that we have such a small number of donors coming through now means that single women and our lesbian couples in particular, as two of our largest groups, have a limited choice of sperm donors. And you've got to realise that we're not just dealing with sexual orientation here, we also are dealing with a very diverse cultural group. It's not enough for us just to have Caucasian sperm donors on file. We have to have Indian donors, Asian donors, African donors, Greek, Italian, any ethnic group you can think of is definitely going to be used. And if we don't have a diverse group of sperm donors, then we can't meet the needs of all of our patients.
So wait, are we talking about a need for just a lot of sperm, or is it specific sperm, or sperm from different cultures? What kind of sperm are we talking about here?
All sperm in general, but also specific ethnicities. So if we will accept sperm donors of any colour, creed, race, education level. The only limits we have is with regards to age. We do require our sperm donors to be over 21 and to be under 45 years of age, because we have consent issues for people under the age of 21. We think it may be a little too young. And if we have sperm donors that are in the older age group, we do have an increase in miscarriages and other genetic problems for the children.
Some of you, like myself, might only really know about sperm donation from what you've seen in a movie. But it's no laughing matter. The people who donate sperm help others to make their families. So what does it take to become a sperm donor?
If somebody's going to come forward and be a sperm donor, it is a significant commitment. We need to assess that donor to make sure that they don't carry any genetic diseases that could be passed on to the children. And we also need to assess them for any sexually transmitted infections that could be passed on to the people receiving the donor sperm. We do take a careful history and we do a number of blood tests on the potential donors, and we also need to assess their sperm, obviously, to make sure that the sperm is of a reasonable quality. Even if it is not of top quality, we will still accept it because we can use it for IVF, even if we can't use it for artificial insemination. We need to be able to ensure that they can adequately consent, no mental health issues, that sort of thing, that preclude consent. And that's about it, really. And then they need to be willing to come in and provide us with a number of sperm samples, because we'll get a number of ejaculates and store up enough sperm to be able to meet the needs of up to 10 women who can be treated with that donor sperm.
Okay, so when we're talking about being a sperm donor, it's more than just ejaculating into a cup. How much sperm is it that you actually need?
Well, it depends on the quality of the sperm. So we may find that we only need a few ejaculates and then we get a large number of vials of sperm because the concentration of sperm and the quality of sperm is high enough that we need less ejaculates. In other cases, we need a larger number of ejaculates if the sperm count is lower or the quality of the sperm is poorer.
Would you like to do your bit to become a sperm donor? You can find out more information at australianneedsyoursperm.com.au and help rainbow families grow.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
Australia is in a sperm shortage and it's not going to donate itself. Now on The Informer, Dean Arcuri continues his conversation with Dr. Weston from the Monash IVF Group as we find out more about Australia's sperm shortage and what you can do to contribute.
Australia is close to a sperm drought and our communities are part of the reason why. But that doesn't mean you can't do your bit to help make more rainbow families a reality. I'm speaking with Dr. Weston from Monash IVF, who was the first gay IVF specialist in Victoria to open up a private practice. We're talking about what it takes to become a sperm donor. It's not as simple as you think, and it's not just about some sperm in a turkey baster. There's more to it, like a different expectation from a clinic donor to a known donor.
Let's say a lesbian couple are coming to see me, and as they frequently do, and they are coming to start a family together. The first thing we need to establish is where are we going to get the sperm from? Some of these women come forward and they have a friend or a relative or somebody that they know that they're bringing themselves to be their donor. And that person goes through the same vetting process that a clinic recruited donor goes through. But when the sperm is released from quarantine, it's only going to be used by the woman who's recruited her own known donor. That sperm is stored solely for the use of the couple who have recruited that donor for themselves. That's a known donor. A clinic-recruited donor is of more value for us because that donor can be used for up to 10 women rather than just for the individual couple. So we then recruit that donor and go through the registration and vetting process ourselves. And then the women come to us and they say, look, we don't actually want to have someone we know as the sperm donor. We'd like somebody with a bit of distance. Do you have any sperm donors on file? And in fact, 80% of our lesbian couples and 95% of our single women prefer a donor who's been recruited by the clinic rather than them having to go out and ask a chap to be their known donor.
If I donate sperm today, what about the future? Could someone knock on my door in 18 years' time and tell me that they're my child? What information do they get about me?
The recipients would have nothing that would enable them to actually identify you on the street. So they could be sitting next to you in a tram and they wouldn't know that you had actually been their sperm donor. We certainly do not give any details with regards to your address, your phone number, or any photos of what you look like now. We may ask for a photo of when you were a child. They will know your height, weight, hair colour, eye colour, your ethnicity, your level of education, your blood group, and skin tone. They'll want to know a little bit about your occupation and your interests. And it's surprising how important it is for the women when they're selecting, getting a bit of a feel for the personality of the person who's going to be their sperm donor. And it's really important that we have that information because, for example, if you are a Caucasian couple, you may or may not be interested in an African donor, and vice versa, and an African couple may not want Caucasian sperm. And height is really important because if I've got a very small woman, she may not want the biggest sperm donor because she's actually got to deliver the baby after 9 months. There's a huge amount that goes into their thought processes and they agonise over the decision-making process with the information that we're able to provide them, but it's all non-identifying. It doesn't matter who you are, what you look like, where you come from, what's your race, there's going to be someone who's going to be interested in your sperm, because you are going to meet their particular requirements.
Donating sperm to help someone else start a family is a lovely thing to do, but it's important that you understand your rights and responsibilities so that everyone's on the same page.
Well, there's absolutely no way a donor-conceived child can access your estate. That's one thing that some of our donors are concerned about, that somehow they're going to have a donor-conceived child come out and demand a piece of their estate. There is no legal mechanism by which that can occur. There's also no legal mechanism whereby parents of a donor-conceived child can sue the donor for any maintenance. So you are completely unencumbered by any financial responsibilities. The donor-conceived child can seek information about you as a donor, your name, your address, and can seek contact, which usually occurs through the social workers of the department. The donor is allowed to say no. So if you have donated and in 18 years' time, when the child reaches 18 years of age, you do have the right of refusal to say, look, I do not want to meet the child, although in our experience, very few donors would say no, but you do have that right. And you as a donor have the right to seek contact with a donor-conceived child from your sperm, and the child on reaching 18 does also, in the same direction, have the right to say no.
We're running out of sperm, Australia, and it's time to drop trowel and do your bit.
We have an increasingly diverse society. We need to meet the needs of people of every sort of ethnicity, race and religion you can think of. But the other issue is really the success of the gay and lesbian community in asserting their rights to have children has been a story of remarkable success. But it has come at a cost to our donor sperm bank. But what I don't want is the situation where I have a lesbian couple coming to see me to say, look, we're ready, we've married, we're ready to have children, we're ready to start, where's the sperm? And then I have to say to them, well, we don't have any. Mm. And that's the real situation that we're going to be facing in the near future. These women are going to have to go around and find their own sperm, and I just think that would be a terrible shame if we couldn't meet the needs of these women.
As our equal rights grow, so does our need to provide for them, and helping to do your bit for the creation of rainbow families is actually really simple.
I was the first gay IVF specialist in Victoria to open up in private practice, and in the last 8 years, 9 years, I've seen a huge explosion in the number of couples coming to seek help. Look, a lot of people do just home insemination, but that doesn't work for everyone. And a lot of lesbians are like everyone else. Often they'll find a partner later in life at a time when their fertility is not at its peak, and they'll need help, and they will need donor sperm, and we are really struggling.
You can find out more information by phoning 1800 731 927 or heading to australianneedyoursperm.com.au.
That was Dean Arcuri with Dr. Weston from the Monash IVF Group discussing Australia's sperm shortage.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.